The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Showtime. The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Finally, I ring the doorbell again, and now I'm pounding on the door. Your porch is on fire. It'd probably be a good idea to come out. A man walks out, belly hanging out of the bottom of his t-shirt, and I go, "Your porch is on fire." And he goes, "Oh, no.
Smoke? Everybody, I think I smell some smoke back here.
And I'm standing there with a hose in my hand. I don't know what you want to do about it. It could ignite again. And he's like, "Well, thanks, I guess."
Oh! It was an inferno in there! An inferno!
There he is! That's him!
The coward that left us here!
Thanks, I guess?
I'll never forget that term.
What kind of a topsy-turvy world do we live in where heroes are cast as villains? Brave men as cowards.
But I saw you push the women and children out of the way in a mad panic. And when you ran out, you left everyone behind.
Seemingly, to the untrained eye, I can fully understand how you got that impression.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
I just want everybody to know that Chewy practices what he preaches. In a lot of times he'll pick on younger generations, my generation even younger than mine, calling everybody a potato. But he's here today. He's playing through it.
And I ain't good. I should have never ate that sub. That thing just bit me.
Well, even our guy Justin McCoy, for those who may have missed it when Chewy talked about eating a sub that he left in his car for like 6 hours. Our guy Justin McCoy from Cousin Subs, our buddy, director of marketing over at Cousin Subs, comes in here, feeds us every once in a while, tells us all the great things going on at Cousin Subs. He even tweeted at the show, going, "Chew, come on, bud. Come on, man."
I thought as long as you named a sponsor, it's a good thing. I mean, it wasn't a negative.
Well, again, no, I mean, it's a good thing. I mean, nobody is blaming Cousin Subs. That's the thing. Nobody's blaming Cousin Subs. There's only one person to blame for this, and that's you.
No restaurant serving food is going to say, "Yeah, just leave your leftovers in the car for 6 hours and eat them later." That's a universal no-no.
It's better than eating bugs. See, I'm the only one that could really survive in the wild here, I believe.
Oh, I've done those.
You think so?
Of anybody on the station. Again, if the apocalypse hits, the only person I think at ESPN Milwaukee that's got a chance, at least on air, I guess I don't know, the lifestylings of everybody. We've got a large office upstairs. But in terms of the on-air folks, like, you got the only chance of surviving.
I'm trying to think of the grossest thing I've ever eaten.
What about Chewy makes him? Is it just brute strength? Strength, pure physical size?
Yeah, I mean he's also the toughest one here. Generally we
it's
are.
It's not
all
really
soft.
Saying a lot.
Yeah.
Skinniest cat at fan camp.
It's really not
we're all
saying
soft,
a lot,
man. Generally speaking, you look up and down the lineup. We don't have a lot of tough guys, Chew.
This is like today's going to be like Temple. I'm under the weather.
Okay.
Playing at Temple with 101 temp. And I actually played, I think I graded out 98%. I had one catch for 18 yards and I graded out 98%. What's the worst, though? Is the fever the worst?
Chewy apparently had a big fever
the worst?
Last night.
Not a big, but I mean, 100. Is a lot.
The thing to me that's the worst is the fever's up there, and then the sweats/chills when you're trying to sleep.
Chills are bad.
That makes it virtually impossible. You're constantly waking up.
The chills while you're sweating are always the toughest.
Where does barfing stand? When you get what is the mouth sweats? Is that what you call it?
When your mouth waters?
Yeah.
The mouth sweats.
Is there a term for that?
I think it's just your mouth watering.
And it's not in a good way. Because my mouth waters when I smell borscht. It's the only thing. Well, other than my wife. But that has got to be the worst.
Really? Because I feel like when I'm sick, whether it's, you know, sick or it's been a while since I've been sick from previous night's activities. But I feel what I mean, you've talked about this. I feel like it's purging. Like after the purge, I feel like there's a sense of relief. It is not fun while you're going through it. But once you get to that other side, I feel a sense of relief.
I don't know. Blasting in a crowded restaurant is not good either.
You seem to be talking from experience.
Indeed I am. Yeah, not that long ago.
What?
I went to, yes, something happened. See, I think sometimes places poison me for some reason.
Well, I mean.
Or the Visine. So this restaurant in Tampa, probably the most famous. I mean, it's known probably worldwide. But it's in an old building. And there's so many sections of it. 200 tables.
Oh, wow. So this place,
but it's
place
an
is
old
huge.
Place.
Yeah.
But the bathrooms are the size of like grandma's bathroom with one urinal and one commode.
You're not sharing the bathroom with anyone.
So something happened. I think I got Visine'd. And I'm like, dude, because the waiter had to show me where it was because it's winding here. I'm like, I can't go in there. So I made him take me to the employees. Thank God. Thank God.
Is it?
Yeah, I think that's the worst.
Is it possible? Because you are, my body is a temple guy, Monday through Thursday till 4 p.m. Because that's when, you know, Blammer Thursdays happen.
Yes. Which is on ice.
So, well, I mean, you're
again?
We'll push it to tomorrow because it's supposed to rain.
Oh, you're talking about being under the weather.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, he didn't get, yes.
I thought you got him in trouble again.
I thought he grounded his neighbor again.
No.
Not yet, at least.
Although there is a possibility it was the corn that got me sick.
So I had the corn. I mean, I guess I had it with other things, so I didn't have it like full doors, just, you know, just full bore off the cob.
Yeah.
Like I made this like little salad with it, but I did not get sick. My wife did not get, we had somebody over that ate it. He is not sick.
Okay.
So I think we can vouch for the corn.
All right.
But is it possible that because your body is my temple is a temple guy, that your body at this point just reacts poorly when you eat certain things? For example, last night I was hanging out with a friend of mine who's vegan, and she's talking about how at this point, anytime, you know, if she has anything dairy, like her insides are just
sure.
She's just lactose done for days. She's just done for days. Because she's, you know, she's vegan, mm-hmm. and then reintroducing that to your system just kind of upsets, you know. Is it possible that when, you know, you went to the restaurant, reintroduced something to your system that you hadn't had for so long, that it just kind of upset the system?
I don't know. I had steak. It's not like I had oysters or anything like that. It was very basic. Maybe the wine, because it was a nice bottle with sediment in it.
I mean, because honestly, who is going to Visine you other than your wife? Do you think she's doing it to entertain herself sometimes?
Well, I got Visine'd, I know, by a restaurant here.
What?
Yes, totally. My father-in-law took me to lunch. We ordered the exact same thing.
Okay.
Down to the lemonade.
Yep.
The exact. It was about 10 minutes from my house. Mm-hmm. I couldn't even make it 10 minutes.
Sounds like when Homer was playing Beat the Clock with his...
with his...
when he was doing the colonoscopy.
Maybe I need that. That's actually very refreshing.
See, that's what I was talking about.
It is. Have you ever done it?
I have not. I am not of age.
Josh,
I'm getting closer and closer to that age where I need one.
There's no of age. It's just take a whole bottle of Miralax. It's quite refreshing.
You're saying just to clean out the pipes?
Yes. I think it's good for you.
I have not engaged in said behavior. Not how I want to spend my Saturday night.
Yeah. Hey, Joshy, you want to come over? No, I've got an entire bottle of Miralax.
That'd be a good game, though.
I got a bottle of Miralax with my name on it.
That'd be a good game. Who won? I had 16.
I don't know why we're searching for the food culprit from this, because yours clearly seems to be like in your head and chest, like more cold than it does tummy issues.
Yeah.
Now, I haven't heard you report any tummy issues, but I think you're just sick.
No, no tummy issues.
Yeah.
So. No.
I think we're barking up the wrong tree.
Yeah. So you're saying I can have Blammer Thursday because there's no tummy issues?
I mean, look, you're an adult. You can kind of do whatever you want.
But does that make me soft to cancel?
No.
Because he literally sits by his phone and waits for the text day. Matter of fact, we'll text him right now.
So he's waiting for your text to be like, hey, come over.
We'll see how quickly he responds.
No? I don't think I have, though. I do have to admit, I have participated in the, well, maybe we can drink this illness away.
Oh, yeah. The alcohol.
Oh, I've done that.
You'll flush the system. Yes.
The alcohol is going to kill everything inside of me.
Just send so many fluids through, your body has no choice but to kick it.
At what age do you decide you can't do that?
Well,
anymore?
We've all had the Budweiser flu.
Well, yeah. Yeah, but at what age have you just, because again, I've done that as well. I feel like right now I am of age where I am not going to be like, hey, you know what I need? Just a bender. That's going
to
cure me.
I tried it probably a month ago, but that was because it was like a lingering sickness and I felt better than I had for the previous 4 days. So it was like, at this point, I don't feel ill enough to avoid anything. So I'm just going to.
What about the sauna? Sweat it out.
You could try.
Does that work?
I mean,
the problem is you're dealing with dehydration.
Yes.
And you're going to dehydrate yourself further.
Yeah.
At 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
With the Blammer.
I mean, that's what's what your meal is over there for. Your big old bottle of.
Maybe I should double shoot it today. You know what we used to say when I played? You know.
Can't play scared?
Can't play scared. You just can't play scared.
So you're still going to go Blammer Thursday?
Like, Gabe was so nice. He's like, why don't you just go home? Me and Josh, he can handle it. The toughest thing about this is waking up in the drive. Even when you're sick. Right?
Sure. But again, like, I'm going to put it out there again. It is an option for you. Like, if in the next hour 45, if you decide, hey, this is too much, you can go. Joshy and I got, we got a full show. We got Jason coming up next. We got Chef
Gabe,
D. We got Top 8.
Gabe, I've only done that one time where I left in the middle of the show. Because I was hung like a buffalo. And it wasn't my fault.
Never is.
Yeah, it's
the one thing
it
I've
wasn't.
Had, one thing wasn't. I always know, it's never
I do
fault.
Not choose to imbibe on Sunday. Someone else does and brings me down to her world.
I remember when you left. Like, yes. 40, Jen was shocked.
Yes.
We just told you to go home. You're like, nope, I'm gone. She's like, wait, is he actually gone? I'm like, yeah, he got permission. He's not coming back.
He did leave the one time I was filling in when he was like, can I go home? I said, sure. And then he just stood up and walked away, and I didn't realize that was a serious threat.
Well, you've got, you learned the hard way, I guess, you know, because I'm not, in this world, Joshy, as crazy as this is about to sound, I'm not Chewie's boss. I'm like Chewie's wingman. I'm going to protect him when I can. But you somehow...
No, but you're kind of my consigliere.
Yeah, I'm going to consult you.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. But Josh, you're kind of like the boss.
Mm-hmm.
If you grant permission, he is going to take that permission and run with it. And again, you learned the hard way, but now you know.
Well, I do want to say, if you're not feeling well enough, feel free to leave.
No, I'm good.
All right, he is going to power through. We are going to power through as well, because the floor and ceiling for the Green Bay Packers apparently has been set over at ESPN.com. We definitely want to get into that, but there is a mediocre kicking competition happening in Green Bay, and Jason Wilde is going to give us the latest on that, I guess. It's coming up next here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. But you can tune into the Thanasis Show each and every week. It's presented by Gruber Law Offices. Thanasis Adetokunbo hangs out with special guests for fun and even surprising conversations. Maybe it's his live show with Giannis, a chat with Green Bay quarterback Jordan Love, getting the inside scoop on fighting with Logan Paul, or any one of TA's unique guests. Find Thanasis Show on Apple, Spotify, anywhere else you get your podcasts. Plus, you can subscribe to Thanasis Show on YouTube to see exclusive video content from Thanasis. Thanasis Show, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
Ready, down, put.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that This guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
He is our friend. He is our teammate. He is Jason Wilde. He joins us three times a week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Jason, welcome to a Dude Thursday.
Hello, dudes. How are you?
Hi, buddy.
Chewy's playing a little under the weather, but, you know, he's a tough guy.
Jason, do you work when you're sick? How sick do you have to be?
Pretty sick. I went to the hospital on a Monday.
Oh, that's right.
I did the show on Monday, so...
I remember that.
You know, you're welcome for my service. I mean, look, you played in the NFL, so you playing through plantar fasciitis and all the other stuff that you played through is one thing. Like, as long as your voice works, I kind of feel like what we get to do for a living, you should probably be able to push through. Mm-hmm. Now, there are lots of things that people do for a living that are much harder than what I do, and would be much harder to push through if you're feeling under the weather. But me, standing in my studio in our basement, I think I could probably find a way to tough it out for 3 hours. So, no, I don't deserve any credit for that. Really? What are you guys talking about this morning? I inadvertently opened Twitter.
You don't want to
and
know.
I saw you two knuckleheads. So, catch me up.
Well, I mean, Jason, you know how it goes sometimes. You've got a show planned out, then you open up the microphone, you just say Chewy's toughing it out, and sometimes you go down a road that you didn't anticipate going down.
Yeah, I have that happen a lot with my guy, too.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just letting everybody know Chewy's playing under the weather, and he tells some other stories of other times he was under the weather, like when he was at a apparently famous restaurant in Tampa and was, you know, getting the rumbly tumblies. And
it was more than that. It was like, run.
And the waiter took him to a bathroom that was too small and ended up taking him to the employee bathroom so he could take care of business.
Mm. Yeah, I'm sure there were a few times where he pushed through when he was under the weather, but it was self-induced from a night out with the Three Amigos and stuff like that, too.
You'd be surprised how many guys just pee themselves on the sideline because there's nowhere to go. Is there a place to go? Well, they can go in that medical tent now, right, Jason?
I would assume that there are times where guys pee in there, yes.
But Brett used to.
I've seen it occur.
And I'm blown away that 70,000 people didn't know, because this probably happened two or three times a year, where Brett would pee into a plastic bag and have all the quarterbacks around him, and he'd just be standing, and no one ever. Have you ever heard, Jason, knowing that Brett was peeing on the sideline?
Only because you've told me that before.
Yeah.
But no, I don't think. But again, remember, everyone is watching what's going on the field. And while he's peeing and you guys are on the sideline, your defense is playing in the game.
Yeah.
So, like, there is something to watch other than him urinating.
Good point.
I mean, yeah, I know you think the offense is the only thing anybody cared about.
Yeah.
And therefore, we were just staring at you guys on the sidelines. But turns out, we did want to watch Reggie and Leroy play as well. Jason, what the hell's going on with this kicking competition?
We're missing a lot of kicks yesterday.
That's what's going on. It's not good.
I mean, look, I don't know what the heck their options are, right? Like, they brought in Alex Hale, who has never kicked in the NFL, who's a great story, and I enjoyed telling his story. But is he going to be the Green Bay Packers kicker this year? No, and I don't even think Alex Hale thought that. Like, you know, his line to us when we talked to him late last week was, I know this is just the first part of my journey. I mean, I think kickers generally know if they bring you in mid-August, and they don't let you kick in the game, you're probably there for experience. And if things just go completely to hell with the other two guys, we'll give you a longer look. But again, I don't know what they're going to do because who else is out there? I mean, we all love Mason Crosby, but I don't get the sense that he was kicking last year at this time at like a school in Nashville, putting it on social media, which he wasn't really a big social media guy. So he clearly was trying to catch on. last year. He ends up not doing so until the end of the year. Might have been good to pick him up by his old team and give him a chance to maybe kick that field goal in San Francisco. But I don't get the sense that he wants to keep playing. So if that's the case, like, who are the free agent kickers that you're like, well, this guy would be better than either of the guys we have competing right now? I'm not sure there is one. They're kind of painted into a corner of, all right, well, one of these guys is most likely going to have to be our guy. Who do we feel best about? Well, that's how it feels to me going into the last two preseason games.
Is there a possibility that somebody loses a different kicking competition and after rosters get cut down to 53, they show interest in that guy?
Yes, that's the most likely scenario if they're going to get somebody from the outside. But then let's say you do that, okay? How much do you really know about that guy, right? He hasn't been in your camp all year. You haven't been around him. Those guys made all their kicks in Cleveland, placed the ball pretty effectively on the new kickoff. So I don't know if it's a five-alarm emergency, but like, this is what happens when, you know, and I know it's not the same as the quarterback run, but like we talked about last week, Jackie to Longwell to Crosby, it's not Favre to Rodgers to Love, but it's pretty damn good. And this is, we're not, it turned out that we didn't have to find out just how terrible it is to have a crappy quarterback, but we're certainly starting to get the feeling of what it's like to have an unreliable kicker.
Jason, how unsettled is the offensive line?
I don't think it's unsettled at all. Like, I think the backup spots, I think the swing tackle spot is very much unsettled. You know, Domofsky said on our show, I don't know if he told you guys this, but that the people he talks to around the league have said that the Packers are on the hunt for a third tackle, which, I don't know, Bruce Wilkerson is still knocking around, right? I mean, he got you through. That's what swing tackles are. You want, in my opinion, you want a veteran guy who's played, who can go in there and he's not going to be Joe Thomas, but he's going to get you through the game and he might get you through a game or two if your guy misses subsequent games. They obviously were hoping that Andre Dillard would be that guy. In fairness to Andre Dillard, he has been better in the last week or so. He was pretty rough early on, but you know, your hope would be that he can be that guy. But beyond that, we know who they want to start. So it's Rasheed Walker, left to right, it's Rasheed Walker, Elgton Jenkins, Josh Myers, Jordan Morgan, and Zach Tom, which I think is a pretty good group. My issue is, you know, your top backup at the three interior spots would be Sean Ryan, who Matt LaFleur just got done saying is a really good football player when he's conditioned. And he has to keep up his conditioning, which is never a good thing for the coach to be saying publicly about you. And then there's the question mark at the swing tackle. And the reason why that's unsettling is because offensive lines don't go through entire 17-game seasons with all five guys making all 17 starts. So that's the only, you know, I think they know who their five are that they want to start. I just think, you know, whether or not their depth is sufficient and what would happen if they had to play backups is the unsettling part of it.
Did Ryan fail his conditioning test?
No, but he's, I you know, when LaFleur says that, I mean, I'm assuming that's why he played so many snaps in Denver, right? Or in Cleveland, and he'll play a ton of snaps in Denver because they don't think he's in good enough shape. And again, I likened it to the time when, a little different because it's not a running back, but the time when Mike McCarthy got up there and basically called Eddie Lacy fat. I mean, he never really recovered from that. And I know Mike really regretted that in retrospect. And for LaFleur to basically go up there and say, yeah, that basically Sean Ryan is going to lose the starting job because he's not in good enough shape, which was kind of the implication of what he said. That's never good.
Jason, we got Shefty coming up next, so we're going to cut you loose. But tomorrow, you will be back here with Chewy and Alex Strofe.
Okay.
I'll bring more value, Jason. You always bring value.
Well, I understand Adam Schefter's, you know, pretty good, but, you know, you guys know each other a long time to be given the gong from the Gong Show at 7:28. I'm not going to forget this.
He kind of went Sean Ryan on you.
He totally did. I'm not good enough to keep this thing going.
He did, Jason.
You know.
All right, guys, take care. No, you got to get the chef. No more smoke talk. Got to go. All right, guys, take care. Be good.
Thanks, Jason. I always love talking to Jason here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Is your business looking for localized banking solutions and a strategic partner? Fifth Third Bank has been looking forward to the future and helping businesses shape what's next for 165 years and for the last 15 right here in Milwaukee. They offer industry-specific expertise, local decision-making capabilities, and extensive experience to help navigate the complexities of a constantly changing business market environment with your business in mind. Fifth Third is big enough to provide sophisticated solutions and expert guidance, but also empowered to make local decisions work from a foundation of strong community connections. Commercial banking value only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, custom solutions built around your goals. Member FDIC.
Everyone's go-to source for all NFL news.
Adam Schefter teased some big breaking news. Adam, you've told us about it. What do we got?
Adam's on the phone. Adam, yeah, you have more news? What do you got?
They're going with another move.
And here is the man who knows all, Adam Schefter.
And we're going to get right to some breaking news here that just came down. This tweet from Adam Schefter.
It's ESPN NFL insider Adam Schefter.
Each side gets wins, right? They have Jordan Love under contract for the next 5 years. Let's get this deal in the books. Let's get it done the way we want, structure it. If you're Jordan Love, you're banking all that guaranteed money. You're set. You're set for life. So, again, I think both sides win.
Adam Schefter on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy is presented by Orthopedic Associates of Wisconsin. There is a difference. Also sponsored by Island Resort and Casino.
Been a pretty busy last 24 to 48 hours for our guy, Adam Schefter. Usually joins us on Wednesdays here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Had to push back to today. Good morning, Adam. How are you?
Good morning, Gabe and Chewy. What's going on?
Well, you tell me, man. It looks like you're in a hotel room hanging out. Where are you at right now?
It was funny. Yesterday, I was with O's the Mentalist. He was doing some work on ESPN, and he was doing a performance for the Eagles. And I was laying in bed yesterday morning, and I recognized him like, oh, boy, I'm supposed to be on with you guys at 7:30 your time, and I'm supposed to be with the Eagles here. I don't know that I can make that work. And so we switched it to today, and today we're in Pittsburgh. And, again, it hasn't been announced, but Oz is going to be performing for one of the two teams here. The Steelers and Bills are practicing together, and so we came to Pittsburgh to do a second performance, and I kind of chaperoned him around and kind of like a facilitator of his performances, and he's unbelievable, so it's great,
Adam,
to be with him.
Is that just a fancy way of saying magic?
I guess there's a certain element of that to it, Chewy, but honestly, he gets into guys' heads, and like he does things, and you wonder, how did he do that? You know, yesterday we were by New England. We stopped by the Kraft offices, and he was doing stuff for Robert Kraft and Jonathan Kraft and their assistants, like, and how he was doing these things. I guess it's
amazing.
It is mind boggling. Like, he did something private off camera for Robert and Jonathan. He's like, he says to Jonathan, hey, I want you to think of somebody that you're going to be talking to in the next 2 weeks, business wise. I don't want to know. Don't tell your dad, and all their assistants are around. And so he goes, okay. He goes, you got the first name? He goes, yeah. He goes, he goes to Robert Kraft, hold my wallet. Okay. Hold my wallet. So he goes to Jonathan. He said, okay, you thought of this name? Yeah. Have you spoken to this person recently? No. You're going to be talking the next 2 weeks? Yeah. The person has an L in there, Les, in their name, don't they? Yeah. Person's first name begins with an M, doesn't it? Yeah. Person's name is Michael, right? And he goes, Jonathan looks, he's like, yeah. And then he says to Robert Kraft, holding his wallet, oh, see that zipper? Open up that zipper. And he opens up the zipper, and he pulls out a card, and it says, say hello to Michael for me. Now, how did that card get into that wallet with that? Jonathan could have picked any name. Any name. How did that happen?
It's amazing.
Is that magic, Chewy?
I don't know. Gabe, have you seen him when he does when he goes to these teams and does this stuff?
Oh, yeah. I've seen the pieces on you know, ESPN and stuff like that. Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'll always remember last year, I was with him with the Packers. You know, we met the Packers in Cincinnati. And I'm with him. And I've been with him for all his performances with NFL teams. And I'm telling you right now, I still have no earthly idea how he's done. Zero. So we're with the Packers and we're three tricks in, three magic acts, whatever you want to call them, Chewy, and Aaron Jones. Because some of the guys they get pissed off. They think it's voodoo.
Black magic. Heard that phrase.
Like you say, magic. I've heard the phrase voodoo. But Aaron Jones stands up after three acts and goes, "Man, we're being played," and goes. He said, "This is set up. Like, these guys know the answers. You know the answers. You know, we're being played." And he goes, "Aaron, that's not true. You're not, you know, that's not right." He goes, "All right. Tell me my childhood nickname." And I'm standing next to my producer, Harry Hawkins. And he's looking at me and I'm looking at him. Like, no preparation. Oz has never met Aaron. So Oz very calmly walks up to Aaron in the room and he goes, "Does anybody in this room know your childhood nickname, Aaron?" And he goes, "No." Like, he's mad. He's angry and irritated. "No." And he goes, "Okay." And he walks to the front of the room, and he gets out a piece of paper, and he writes something on the piece of paper, and he keeps it like this, and he says, "Aaron, why don't you tell everybody your childhood nickname?" And he goes, "Booby." And he flips over the piece of paper, and on the paper it says "Booby."
That is incredible. It's like a medium.
Wait, did Jones leave after this? Did he just like get so upset that he just took off, or what? What did Aaron do?
Well, you know, it was funny because after the performance, some of the players walked up to him. I remember there were a couple of Packers rookies, and they're like, "Man, no way!" And he's like, "All right, pick a number. You know, what? Get a number in your mind. You get the number. Yeah, yeah. But Terry, okay, you're thinking of like eight, and the guy's like, I mean." It's unbelievable. I don't know how he does it.
Yeah.
I don't know how he does it.
Crazy. Adam, the rift between Sirianni and Jalen Hurts, is that a real thing, or is that what Holmgren used to call poppycock?
I think that every relationship has its issues and challenges. And are you telling me like that nothing ever came up the year before? How come nobody highlighted the relationship between Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts the year before when they were going to the Super Bowl, right?
Mm-hmm.
But last the sky fell apart, or the sky came crashing down, or however you want to phrase it. And all of a sudden, I do a radio spot in Philly. And at one point in June, I said to the host, "Can we stop talking about last year? We're in 2024. Like, everybody is just stuck on what happened." So everybody's looking to explain how could the Eagles go from, you know, wherever they were, 9-1 to being amongst the worst teams in football. And so, Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni. Now, is that real? Yeah, there's stuff there, absolutely. But there's stuff there, I think, oftentimes between a head coach and a quarterback. It's not always hunky-dory. It's not going to be hunky-dory when you're not winning. There are going to be issues. And obviously they have issues between the two of them. There are some issues. But here's what I would say. If the Eagles play this season the way they did in the first half of last year, you're not going to have too many issues about Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni's relationship anymore. And if they don't play well and they play the way they did the second half, people will be focusing on that and all the other things that are going wrong.
I have been fascinated by this whole Brandon Ayuk thing, and I've been following it closely as a Packers fan, Shefty, because in my mind, if he leaves, the Niners aren't as good of a team. Like, all these different pieces that they have fit together so perfectly and complement one another, especially on offense. It just, the longer this goes, the more it seems like to me he's not going to go anywhere because San Francisco's not going to get what they want. What do you think the actual odds of him getting traded are to potentially make the NFC? Because if he gets traded, I think the NFC is pretty wide open for a handful of teams.
Here's what I would say about this, and I really mean this. There aren't a lot of stories that I've worked on in recent years that I remember that have been like this. And what I mean by that is this. On August 1st, And I say that because it was the Thursday of the Hall of Fame game. So I think it was that was August 1st. It stands out to me. Maybe it was August 2nd. Whatever that Thursday was, I thought that day he was getting traded to the Cleveland Browns. I really did. And it didn't happen. And then over the weekend, I started getting grumblings that he was getting traded to New England. And that didn't happen. And then on Monday or Tuesday, I thought he was being traded to Pittsburgh. And that didn't happen. And then I thought he was getting a deal back done with San Francisco. And that didn't happen. And now we're still sitting out there. And all these options, at one point or another, have all been in play. And where this is ultimately going to land, every time I think I know, it stalls and doesn't get done. So how this is going to go, I don't know. I don't know. Because I think it's all those things. The Niners know they're not as good a team without him. The Niners know that they're having a hard time signing him. The Niners know that if they trade him, they need a receiver in return. Not getting a wide receiver from Pittsburgh. Aren't a lot of wide receivers available. What do you do? Guys acting up. How do we handle that? Like, it's a tough, tough scenario. And if we're struggling to figure it out, I can assure you that they're struggling to figure it out. And you're asking me for an answer. And I can honestly say, I think the answer often changes on a daily basis as to the most likely outcome. So where it's going to come in at the end, we'll see. We don't know. There's no way to predict this. But I'm curious, and I'd like it to get resolved because I'd like to get it off my plate and out of my life. Brandon Ayuk.
Adam, did you think?
Jake... By the way, I landed in Pittsburgh yesterday. I get on the monorail. The person next to me goes, you here to find Brandon Ayuk? Figure out the brand. I said, I didn't need to come to Pittsburgh to figure out the Brandon Ayuk situation.
You made one Steelers fan very happy, though. You got very excited for just a brief moment.
Adam, did you think J.J. McCarthy was going to start in Minnesota this year?
What it sounded like was that Sam Darnold was tracking to start week one, and that at some point in time, probably sooner rather than later, if Sam didn't perform, J.J. would take over. Now, if Sam played well, then he could have kept that job for an extended period if he did that. I guess we'll see how Sam Darnold's going to do, right? But they don't have the J.J. McCarthy option anymore. And you know what was very interesting is on Tuesday, I believe it was Tuesday, I started getting all these messages from random people on Instagram. I never had this happen before. It was multiple. J.J. McCarthy's out for the year, like Tuesday morning. Like, it was a lot of people texting me, like strangers. And I said to myself, something's going on here. Now, they were onto something, but not everything, because the message, he's got a torn MCL, he's out for the year. No, he didn't have a torn MCL. He had a torn meniscus, and they didn't know that he was going to be out for the year until they went in there. But now that I look back at it and I think back to all those messages, and they were coming from like people who claimed that they went to high school with J.J. McCarthy or cousins with somebody. Like, it was a weird thing. And maybe it was just a friend group that decided all of a sudden, they're drunk one night. Let's all send messages to Adam Schefter here. But it was a lot of messages, a lot of weird details. It didn't exactly match up, but they were in the ballpark. You know, they knew something was going on. And that got me to make calls on Tuesday morning. And I could tell very quickly, as soon as I reached out to about five different people and nobody responded for an hour. I know, like, when he responds, they're responding in a different kind of way. And so I knew something was going on. And then sure enough, at about 12:25 Eastern, I got the text that he was having surgery and that would determine how long he was going to be out. And obviously they went in there and found that they needed to repair the meniscus. And again, Sam Darnold will start the season. And if he plays well, he is going to keep that job. He was always going to keep that job as long as he played well. But if he doesn't, they would give him McCarthy to turn to, and they don't have that option anymore.
Over at ESPN.com, Adam, they have the ceiling and floor for every team. Then a little tidbit from the local beat writer. So Rob Domofsky wrote the one for the Packers. They have the Packers ceiling at 12-5. Does that sound about right to you?
I frankly think the ceiling could be higher. I mean, it could be. Like, you know, why, if they're rolling and they're playing, why couldn't they go 13-4? I mean, I'm not telling you they will, but why is the ceiling 12? Why is it 12? Why isn't that 13? Right? So,
I think, I mean, the reason that that chef, that Domofsky put is, I mean, again, I think there's a lot of unknowns with the defense, right? I mean, there's certainly excitement around a new defensive coordinator and Jeff Hafley, some youth on that side, but I just think there's some unknowns around the defense to fully dive in, but I think that's why
they have a brutal...
Well, that's fine. Of course, every team's got unknowns. Every team's got questions. Every team's got things that they have to answer. Every team, including Green Bay. But, again, we're going ceiling. So, and what is the scenario in their ceiling? Like, if Jordan Love is operating and playing at the level he did at the end of last year, or even better, if these young receivers keep getting better, if Josh Jacobs is prime Josh Jacobs, and the offensive line keeps growing, and some of these defensive players mature, why is it 12? Like, again, I think Packers fans would sign up for 12-5 today, and maybe they will be. Maybe they'll be 10-7. Maybe they'll be 8-9. I don't know, but I don't, like, why am I capping them at 12? I don't see that.
There's just a brutal stretch in the middle, Adam, that I think is going to determine their seasons, where they go Texans, Jaguars, Lions, Bears, Niners, Dolphins, Lions at Seattle.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. By the way, like, you don't know that somebody's not going to lose a quarterback.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
Nobody saw the J.J. McCarthy thing coming.
Yeah. Teams get hot. Teams get cold. Sure. You don't know when you're getting up. Like, on paper, okay, it might look tough and probably is going to be tough. It's never really easy, but there are certain times you'd rather be playing teams, and you don't know yet whether those will be the times or not.
So finally, Adam, and I know it's a busy time for you, but the FedEx Cup, I mean, the golf season's coming to a close. Like, how are you doing? How are you doing in your season long race here, your season long pool? Only a couple events left. They're in Memphis this week. Who are you taking? Who did you take? Cause they're going to be teeing off here pretty soon.
Well, Gabe, last week, I want to tell you this. Okay. Last week I nominated, and I'm not joking, Aaron Rye.
He's been playing great.
And hold on. I nominated both those guys.
Yep.
And the group wound up on Sungjae Im because Sungjae Im was the best golfer in the tournament. And he had a huge history at the Wyndham, like 6 top 25 fit. And like, and I honestly, I didn't have the guts to go Greiserman or Aaron Rye. Like, I'm like, Sungjae Im is the guy we have to take. Like, it was just logical. And we took Sungjae Im, and I was tormented all weekend watching Greiserman and Aaron Rye 1 and 2. Like, I was so mad at myself. Like, show some gumption and go for the gusto. So this week, we went back and forth. I'll say it right now. They're just starting. I could be totally wrong. I got a weird feeling on Justin Thomas. Okay? Weird feeling. I pitched it. Didn't feel real strong. I got a gnawing at him. The group voted Patrick Cantlay.
Playoff pick.
And I'm fine with that.
Yeah, but what was both your takes on Scheffler calling this a joke?
Well, so...
He didn't call it a joke. He just like... I guess he kind of did. He's saying that the playoff crowns a champion. Like, look, here's the deal. I don't care if Scotty Scheffler gets... Well, he's not getting it knocked out, but... If he has a poor finish to the season, Scottie Scheffler was the best golfer this year, no matter who wins the FedEx Cup.
Like, his problems seem to be with the semantics, because they called it a season-long race, and it's not a season-long race. Now it's, who plays the best over the next three tournaments? And specifically, who plays the best at the championship? Because he has been light years, to your point, Scheffler, he has been light years ahead of everybody this year. And the best he can do is start with a 2-stroke advantage at the Tour Championship.
And by the way, and if he doesn't win the Tour Championship, do you think less of his season? No, he's unbelievable, right? Unbelievable.
Yeah, he's been spectacular all season long.
He's playing at a Tiger-like level.
Oh, it's been unbelievable. That being said, also only won one major, while Xander Schauffele won a couple.
Well, it's tough when you get arrested, 2 hours before your tea time.
Derailed that one.
Yeah, it makes it a little tough.
Kind of got thrown off a little bit. Shefty, we always appreciate it. Love that you patronize me and talk all the golf as well. We'll talk to you again next week, man.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
Adam Schefter joining us. Man, we covered a lot of ground there. That's what I love about having Schefter on.
We did.
A lot of different ground there.
Did I bring value?
Yeah, of course you did.
You grinder.
You're grinding.
Gabe was all excited because I'm like, I probably got one question in me.
Ah, but you rose to the occasion.
I know. Yeah.
That's the thing. Like when that little light turns on your microphone when you remember to turn it on, you rise to the occasion.
Can I go home, Josh?
Sure.
Thank you.
Two days Chew came back for that one.
Yeah. Grinded your way through. Island Resort and Casino brings us Schefty each and every week. It's a premier resort destination, the largest north of Milwaukee, with everything you like to do in one awesome location. I was just up there a couple weeks ago for the golf. You will enjoy the great food they have, the casino, everything they have to offer. So visit islandresortandcasino.com and book your total experience today.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I have told you how many times.
I know.
Do not mess with electricity, Chew.
And I don't. I did. I did. But
there was
an
incident?
There was one.
Plumbing, you're going to get wet. Electricity, you're going to die.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Looking for a better used car interest rate? At Ewald, they make it easy to save thousands during the used car rate reduction event. Get rates as low as 4.9% on Ewald Automotive Group's best used cars. 4.9% on over 600 vehicles at 10 locations. Increase your purchase power with a better used car from the name Milwaukee has trusted for over 60 years. They make it easy for you, so race over to your local Ewald for this deal until August 31st, or, again, because they make it easy, go to ewaldauto.com. I'm stranded in the combat zone. Matthew texts in 800-990-3776. Gabe, you better be careful. Adam's going to take your job on the tee. Look, if Adam Schefter wants to do on the tee with Stephen Watson each and every Tuesday, he is more than welcome. If he wants to do on the tee, if he's got his golf takes that he wants, this is an open invitation to Adam to take my job on the tee. I would gladly step aside for Adam Schefter.
Do you really, have you had him as a guest?
We have not.
You probably should. Oh, do you really get into the FedEx though?
Not really.
To me, it's over.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I mean, it was a good ending. British?
I find myself getting into the FedEx just because I know it's ending.
Sure.
It's like, well, this is kind of my last run here, so.
Why, are you a golf guy?
I like watching golf. I don't really go super, I'm not like Gabe. I don't go out of my way for any random tournament.
Yeah.
But if it's on, I'm watching it.
Yeah. I mean, in last year, this tournament was fun last year, Memphis, the first playoff event, because it was then branded as the Swamp Ass Invitational.
Oh, really?
Lucas Glover. You don't remember seeing all those?
Oh, yeah, where he wore white pants
He wore khaki pants.
Oh, khaki,
and he just sweat through everything.
Swamp tail.
It was the Swamp Ass Invitational at Memphis last year.
Yeah, but nothing can be worse than playing quarterback with your center in 90-degree heat.
You think that's a big reason why shotgun has become so popular?
I would think so. Just imagine the smell. Whoa. I mean, Frank, I love you. But if that dude, every time I see him, he's like, ooh, I forgot the wipe. How'd you like to be Brett? Smell that back of the hand.
No, thank you. I'm good. What's the Packers ceiling? I don't know how to transition out of that. 2 minutes, Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.